What's up? It's Kareem Kweli from San Pablo, Burgos in Spain, and you're tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Gareth Murray, player coach from the Glasgow Rocks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Andy Thompson. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Anthony Rowe, and you're now tuned in to the BBL
this
Show.
This is Mike Tuck from the Sheffield Sharks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
Yo, 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 what's going on? It's Kofi Josephs, and you're listening to the BBL Show.
This is Ashley Hamilton, a.k.a. AGP of the Plymouth Raiders, and you are now tuned into the BBL Show.
And now your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker.
Welcome to the latest episode of the BBL Show. I'm Jay Marriott. Here with me is Drew Lasker. How are you, brother? How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was beautiful, but it couldn't have been as good as yours, man, because that hoodie that you're wearing is sick, man. I like that.
Yeah, now I've taken up running. That is exactly what my Christmas presents are, but very happy with this little running jacket, kind of fashion stroke functional number. So, yeah, very, very happy. Got some family time, as I saw you did auto, so can't complain.
Love
rest,
that.
Recharge, recover. Get to go again.
Let's do it.
So we are joined by royalty for episode 16 as we welcome the Duke and Duchess of High Tea Hoops. We talk three early season awards, MVP, British Rising Star, and Coach of the Year. This was a lot of fun. And leading on, we had a quiet and sadly COVID week of BBL action. We catch up on new signings, injuries, scores and scorers, news, updates, player of the week, the Lasker look back, and up first, the Marriott Minute. Okay, intrigued me. So Peter Simmons bringing a seriously great question to our door. Who would make our starting five if we had to pick a North versus South all-star team? He made it that much harder, though, by saying one player per team. He gave me South and you, Drew, North. It meant having to leave out a few favourites to achieve it. But what I will say is I think we need a little bit more time to come back to this next week and maybe play around, maybe tweak these rules so that we can see the best players going against one another. Also, intriguing me, shout out to Daniel Routledge and Dave Forrester for their new pod, Sunday Night Breakdown. Make sure you get subscribed, bring a notepad and pen, which is a straight education into the minutiae of the game. Well done, guys. Engage me, Josh Betts is leading the charge to bring back the Thames Valley Tigers. I'm not entirely sure what the plan is, but to see the Tiger print jerseys again, yes, I'm in. What team would you like to see back in the league? For me, it's the London Towers, the yellow and black jerseys, the history. But let us know. Comment using the hashtag TheBBLShow. Lastly, amused me. Who has seen the Leicester Riders Christmas graphic of the players as elves? Absolutely brilliant. Surprisingly, because of his size, William Lee was my favourite in that picture. Great fun. Go check it out. And tell me who your favourite was. And that rounds out the Marriott Minute. Okay, Drew, we have some league news to catch up on. So let's start with some sad news. The dreaded injury curse strikes again. This time, Bristol Friars have lost both Zach Copeland and Liam Davis for the season. This quickly followed some positive going into the Christmas break as they have secured GB duo Teddy Okorafor and Ben Mockford. We also saw Cheshire Phoenix with a little crimbo business securing Brittle Carey. And lastly, delighted to say, the Rocks have secured the signings of guard Christian Keelan and big man Ronald Delph. The Wolves may still be waiting, but the Rocks have seen the cavalry arrive. Drew, it's a sad subject, but what do you make of injuries at the moment?
I mean, unfortunately, it's inevitable. You know, with this tight, condensed schedule, And then on top of that, something else that you've seen us kind of mention on social media about these really cold gyms. So it's a tough environment for guys to be at their best. But you look at Bristol, which I said on the last episode, they had 6 games in 12 days. Zach Copeland gets hurt on that 6th game, on that 12th day. But more importantly, those were 5 games on the road out of 6. So, you know, it sucks, man, because unlike, you know, you listeners out there, if you get injured on your job most of the time, there's something put in place where you can get compensated. But unfortunately, in our business, you got to move on, unfortunately, because we just don't have the type of budget to pay out guys. So it sucks, man. So, you know, I really wish those guys well and hope they're able to bounce back and we can see them continue their career off somewhere next season.
Yeah, for sure. I think that Flyers are a class act. I'm sure they're going to figure out some way to help those guys through this season. But you're right, you know, that in the league that we play in the structure of the contracts, et cetera, then sadly, when you get hurt, you know, it's a double whammy and you're probably going to be out without pay. And then also with a bad injury like Copeland's, for example, well, both, to be fair, you know, they're not going to be able to walk into another job anytime soon. So tough on those guys. Okay, let's catch up on the 2 games. The dreaded COVID has reared its ugly head again, meaning a few cancelled games this week and also moving forward. Something I think we're going to have to live with and be patient as this happens and as it plays out. But 2 games. First, the Glasgow Rocks hosting the Newcastle Eagles. Eagles winning out 93-105, top scorer Ramon Fletcher with 29 points, the floor leader bringing the bag. And earlier in the week, London Lions hosting the Worcester Wolves in a very one-sided win for the Lions, 103-71. Worcester just couldn't get out of the gates. Top scorer Owen Parker with 25 points. Okay, let's get to our guests, starting with a very royal Lasker look back.
In this episode of the Lasker Look Back, I answer the question that most of you probably been asking yourselves. Who the hell are High T Hoops? Well, High T Hoops are ran by the Duke of Hoops, who's also known as Brian, and also the Duchess of Hoops, who's known as Skylar. And this podcast is ran remotely from Seattle, Washington, which makes it even more impressive. And no, they are not husband and wife. They are actually in-laws, as Brian is married to Skylar's sister. But this podcast was began during the quarantine, just like a lot of other podcasts out there. But interesting enough, why British basketball? Well, the Duke and the Duchess are making their way across the pond in 2021. Brian should already be here, but unfortunately, due to COVID, that move got put on pause for a couple of months. But the Duchess will be making her way over here towards the end of the year as she's looking to get back into school. She's applying to grad school at Westminster, and she actually was over here a couple of years ago as she studied at King's College. So make sure you guys look out for the Duke and Duchess and make them comfortable. Maybe give them some crumpets, a cup of tea, or even some bangers and mash. And that is today's Lasker Look Back.
That is a great lead-in from Mr. Lasker. Let's get talking awards with our fantastic guests, the Duke and Duchess, Brian and Skylar of High T Hoops. Okay, we are all in the room for a special collaboration. Jay and Drew, meet the High T Hoops, the Duke and Duchess, Brian and Skylar. Welcome all. How are we all doing?
What's up?
Thanks so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you guys. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Why are we all together? It's time to talk early season favorites for end of season awards. We have picked the 3 we most want to highlight at this time. So we have picked the MVP, the most valuable player at the end of the season. We have picked the British rising star, the young player we think is rising to promise, and the coach of the year. three big discussions. So let's get into this. So we are going to start with the MVP race. We have all come up with one name and our reasons behind that. It will then be down to the other three to say whether they love or loathe the pick. Here at the BBO show, we are perfect gentlemen. We will let ladies go first. So, Skylar, you are up.
Ooh, that love or loathe label. It's got me a little nervous. Hopefully you guys love this one. Thought a lot about it. I'm going for DeAndre Liggins as my MVP. Brian, this is my time. This is not our podcast.
What do you mean you thought a lot about
it? Right now. It's my time, Brian. I'm going with DeAndre Liggins. He's had his ups and downs this year, but I think I remember his best performance being against the Cheshire Phoenix. He played 31 minutes, came out 4-for-5 from behind the three-point line, shooting 80% overall, picked up 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. It was a super standout game for him. But I think, like, beyond stats, MVP really is about, like, what player can make the biggest impact on their team. And I think, you know, this Lions team, it was really hyped up at the beginning of the year. Then we saw them kind of have their struggles and kind of need to figure out how they were all going to quite work together. And I think through all of that, DeAndre Liggins has been a really strong pillar for this Lions team, who can come into a game and just really energize his team, come and get some stops, really run the offense. He really just has such a big impact on the game when he comes in for this Lions team. So that's why he's my MVP.
Well, Skylar, I would like to say I like and I'm starting to love your selection for a couple of reasons. Yes. Because he is shown not only great character, and also to pick up on your point, it's for me, this MVP is outside of the numbers. Obviously, You look at the numbers, but it's about the impact. And no one has more pressure on them than the London Lions. Mm-hmm. No one else, has more pressure on them than DeAndre Liggins. And I was really hard on him at the beginning of the year because I kept saying about how he needs to score more, he needs to do more. And it started at that Leicester Riders game earlier where he went off for 30, and ever since then he's been rolling. But on top of that, I like the fact that during the time that London was struggling, how many times have we thought that DeAndre was leaving? I mean, we thought he was going to Greece. We saw the
peace sign.
Caused a lot of trouble.
a ton. So we thought he was leaving, but he stuck it out through the rough times. So just for that point only, I would say that I like the pick.
Thank you, Drew.
I love it, Skylar.
Thanks, Brian.
And I'm not biased at all. I mean, we interviewed Liggins at the beginning of the season, and you're right, Drew. It's been terrifying as a Lions fan, just seeing him, like, the rumors about him going to Greece, the peace sign with the airplane. And, you know, I watched him a lot when he played for the Cavs with LeBron, where he was really just like the 3-and-D guy or just the defensive stopper. And it's been incredible to see him step up his, you know, his offensive, you know, his game. I mean, he's shooting, what, is he still shooting over 50% from three? Like, he did not get to showcase these talents when he was in the NBA. And he's putting up those shooting numbers, which is really impressive for someone who's known for his, you know, defensive skill set. And if he's not shooting well, he brings the whole team together. I mean, he is everywhere on defense. He's terrifying in those passing lanes. And he has great fits as well. So just all-around game on and off the court is really impressive. Great pick, Skylar.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to have to concur on this one. And, you know, I'm going to love it too. You know, I think you'd be silly not to. I think for me, I see him through the season growing into that offensive role. So like you said, he hasn't been asked of that for him before. And it looked really awkward to start off with. But he seems to be really settling in. You know, and he can do a bit of everything. I think he's the one player that we'll probably talk about that can impact the game in so many different ways. And like you said, defensively, he is terrifying.
Yeah.
And
it's like, you know, Spider-Man out there.
Those arms, those hands.
I call him the octopus. And he makes life difficult. And Drew, I know that you've been on the court with him and stuff like that. Like, it definitely affects teams. So, you know, I think he's going to be good. The only reason that he perhaps won't be in that MVP running is because there's so many other pieces around him. So we're seeing Dirk Williams, for example, taking a huge step the last couple of games and doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon. And then also as well, you can see that Coach Vince is trying this whole rotational piece for his team to try and get through Europe. And also Kevin Ware, he loves to speak up, says they're going for all four, likes to put pressure on him. So that's the only reason I could see him not getting it, because he's such a good player. He's not going to try and force himself into that MVP conversation. He wants to win.
Yeah. And he's a little inconsistent. You know, when he has definitely like the 7 points, like you want someone who can consistently do it night after night. I think he's getting there.
I agree.
3 for 3 on loves. I'm super proud of myself.
I mean, you have the number one pick, Skylar. Relax.
Yeah, thanks. I pretty much set myself up for success. But
oh, he played with LeBron in the NBA. What a weird pick to do.
Guys, it's 2020. I'm going to take the W's where I can get them.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. Yeah.
All right, so moving on to me, my pick. I'm going to go with the Plymouth Raiders star, Ashley Hamilton. And there's a couple of reasons why. He's fourth in the league and scoring 18 a game. He's had the second most made free throws in the league. And also, he's shooting above 50% from the three. Now, before I went and dived into the numbers, you know, I kind of thought that he was a little bit inefficient, but I was just judging his game against us. But against everybody else, he's been really efficient. Mm-hmm. But the reason why he's my pick is – picking up on Skylar's point, is not just about the numbers, it's about the impact. And we have said from the beginning that Plymouth is going to be a top four team. We expect them to win silverware. But when you're without your best player and Andrew Lawrence, you know, we're thinking that this team is going to struggle. And they've done everything but struggle. They won the group, losing one game. They picked up a huge victory against my Newcastle Eagles that I don't think anybody predicted. And the biggest thing that stands out to me, because for our listeners out there, one thing that Jay and I like to do, the perspective we like to bring, is that eye test. We don't just look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. And one thing that numbers can, you know, people who just look at the box scores, they can always be misconstrued. So when I look at the box score, I actually look at the opponent, because it matters. And so looking at Ashley Hamilton against the Newcastle Eagles, picking up 18 points, but against the London Lions, picking up 31 points on the road. So put up big performances against those teams that's in the group of death, and he's held down the fort while missing their best player in Andrew Lawrence. So right now, Ashley Hamilton is my early MVP pick.
I love it. That would have been mine. You guys have taken my top two. You know, MVP, it's hard to just like the MVP, the most valuable player. There's so many different definitions of it. But if you think of it as, if you remove one player from a team, how would they fare? And, you know, Liggins, obviously super valuable, but they're really deep, just like you said. And if you removed him, you know, you could argue that they would have a similar record. I think if you take Ashley off this team, they are nowhere near as successful. And that's one of the biggest reasons, you know, I love this pick. He has been a great all-around player and leader. You know, seeing him go to the GB games and step up there, come back, and they have a really strong squad, but he's really kind of powering this team. And it was a little unexpected with Andrew Lawrence out for him to lead this team and them being, you know, so, you know, performing so well in the league so far. So, yeah, love this one, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I love the pick. I love the person that's picked it. That was my pick.
Sabatino.
That was my pick. I'm going 100 on the Sabatino right now. No, I'm with you for sure. I mean, for me, anytime you can see a British player being that MVP echelon, it's just exciting. I think it's great for the league. You know, to see and retain a top talent like Ashley Hamilton is great. For me, you know, I was looking across the numbers, and he's so consistent. And the one thing that I love, Brian, you picked up on it, is we've seen it when he gets in foul trouble or even fouled out in one game. When you take him out of the equation, that Raiders team looked very, very average.
Lost.
I think also remember that this is a team with deep pockets. And this is a team with basketball experience. So if Hamilton needs some pieces around him, I think they will find it. But he will remain the man. I think that Paul James has the trust in him, wants to give him that number one. Andrew Lawrence is going to come in and be that number two. I don't see that changing, even if they make some upgrades here and there. So for me, I love it.
I don't like where we are in this order, though. We're us being last, Jay. They're taking our top picks here.
It's a struggle.
It's going to be tough through these second two rounds, these second two categories. I'm going to finish you off here with three Lovitz. I think this is a great pick. I think, like you guys have said, he kind of anything that could be a criticism of Liggins as the MVP pick, Hamilton is the opposite. He doesn't like the he is super consistent, and there is like if you take him off this team, that team is lost, like Brian said. So I completely agree. I think this is a super strong pick.
Well, thanks, guys. You guys make me feel you did all good, warm Drew. Inside. Thank you.
Also, just I hate that you can flex on us and just be like, well, when I was playing him, he actually was better than this person. It's just like, great. I can't argue with that.
But, yeah, just to wrap it up on AGP, the biggest reason for me putting him in the MVP choice is not for the on-the-court action. It's the off-the-court action. As last week during the Leicester Riders Bristol Flyers game, he replaced myself because I was a tad busy, and he went there and killed it, not only on the ones and twos, but that outfit, that all black with those glasses.
Oh, my God.
Like, he looked like somebody.
Incredible. I mean, your last show, you're like, I need to step up my fit game compared to Ashley.
I was on riverisland.co.uk.
Trying to get that Boohoo Man sponsorship.
You know, hey, I need that.
I'm telling you right now, Ashley Hamilton does not shop at River Island, brother. So you're gonna have to change that perspective.
Oh,
brother.
Well, he out of my league, man.
All right, my turn.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna change my pick. Mid pod.
It's not allowed. Okay.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's your pick, man.
All right. So I was going to pick Ramon Fletcher because, you know, 16 and 10, basically 9.9 for assists. The Eagles, you got what? You're dominant in the league right now. But there's just so many of you, Drew. There's so many good players. I mean, Evan Maxwell at 19 a game. You got Gordon at 7 rebounds. It's just there's so many good players, and I do think Ramon is the engine there and kind of empowers the entire team. But I'm going to go with Hexum. I mean, he's 21-9, leading the league in rebounds and points. It's hard to not go with Lyle Hexum on the Manchester Giants right now, now that he's still available. So I'm going to go with Lyle Hexum. You know, the Giants have come out strong. I know in the championship, they've struggled a little bit, but you know, it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do. And just seeing his face all over the league leaders, it's hard not to have him as an early favorite for MVP.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll jump in here. I love it because, I was thinking about picking him and at the last minute, I made a little change as well.
Yep.
The only red flag for me was big numbers, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when I look at him, he passes more than just the eye test. So we've seen a guy like this. So having played in the States, we've seen a guy with that size, that kind of talent, walk into mm-hmm. the gym, go through a workout. You think, wow, this guy could go in the draft. And then he plays in the games and kind of disappears a little bit, relies on that three-point shot a little bit too much. And early on, even though it was working for him, I was worried that that's what he might do. And he does exactly the opposite, to be fair. He goes, mm-hmm. he finds his spots and goes where he needs to find the buckets. Now, the red flags for me, though, is two games against the big boys. So Newcastle Eagles,
yep.
only 8 points. Goes against London, only 1 point. And that is ultimately, because of that, just seeing that small little slice right there just scared me away from somebody who's putting up huge, huge numbers. But I still love the pick. And I think I'm going to be brave enough to say it right now is I do think that there's just something in my mind that thinks Manchester might pick off the London Lions Uh-oh. In the semifinals of the Cup.
Wow.
Are you, is that an official statement from?
That's Mr. an official Jenner? Statement that I think will come back and bite me in the backside. But I think that they played them close and Hexum didn't necessarily show up. I think if they get a little something from Hexum, they get a little something from Brady, they were really struggling to stop.
Hey, that is definitely on the London Lions next promo video. That little
yes,
that little Coach Vince is gonna have me, man. He's gonna have me.
Oh my gosh,
you're gonna have Kevin Ware firing up those Twitter fingers again.
Maybe that's my plan.
Yeah, I love this pick. Actually, I'm gonna say I like this pick, Brian.
You're not allowed to. You have to loathe it or love it.
I'm gonna say I like it because I just said that I think that MVP is most based on impact and not stats, and this is pretty much mostly a stats-based pick. Yep. But you know, numbers that big in, you know, a league like the BBL, I think it's hard to argue. I am a little bit disappointed you didn't go with your original Fletcher pick, because we did have a bit going on High Tea Hoops where every player we interviewed went on to be player of the week. So I really wanted you to continue that, Brian, but you know,
this is the BBL show. Yeah. I really wanted, you know, the league leader in points and rebounds, and we weren't going to mention him in MVP. I couldn't let it happen, Jay and Drew.
Couldn't take him. It was the draft pick. It was a nightmare. Sticking out to you.
I had to.
Hey, well, I'm going to be the first one on this show that actually loathes a pick.
Oh, Let's go. Big stats, no wins, guy.
You know, I'm sure Jamie Edwards is probably going to be a little bit upset for me for throwing shade on our guy Hexum. But for me, I can't ignore the numbers. Leading the league, a professional league, I don't care where it is, and scoring and rebounds, it cannot be ignored. But like Jay mentioned, 1 point against the London Lions, 8 points against the Newcastle Eagles. You know, you got to prove it to me against the big dogs. And then on top of that, I need that signature win. Ashley Hamilton gave us a signature win, picking up a victory against the Newcastle Eagles. I don't see that signature win with the Manchester Giants. And then on top of that, we talk about inflated stats. You can't just look at the box scores. I got to look at the opponent. You know, those stats does include the Glasgow Rocks twice and the COVID Cheshire Phoenix as well. So that's four games against a very undermanned team. I think myself at 38, I could have got me a little double-double perhaps. I definitely respect his game. He could definitely play. But when we talk about MVP, I can't go there yet. The season is still young. But the last person to lead the league in rebounding and points was a guy by Andre Smith, who played for Everton Tigers, who left this league to play for a huge Turkey team and, you know, top league Russia. And then most importantly, he won silverware while doing it. So if we're going to give Hexum that title, he better bring some silverware to the Manchester Giants.
So did you not vote for Giannis as MVP of the NBA? Not a bit. They have to have those signature wins. Can't just have empty stats.
I mean, geez, you put me on the spot there. I don't even want to start.
It's a fair loaf. We can't all agree with each other. That's not a fun pod.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I was on a LeBron train the whole time. With Giannis, that's another
podcast.
You're trying to get him off track, Brian.
Any last thoughts to try and bring that back around, Brian, or on me?
I think it's fair. I just could not leave him unspoken. You know, he has put up, you know, whatever numbers against whatever teams, but any professional league to lead in points and rebounds, we need to mention him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see whether that was like an educated, fast, intelligent change, or whether that was a panic pick.
No, he was
going to come back and get you.
When we did our BBL jam, I picked Hexum. So I've been tracking him this season.
You've been liking him.
I've been liking him. I like his game. It reminds me of me, but just I'm a much smaller person. So like me playing pickup against, you know, high schoolers. And, you know, I think that when they beat the Lions, as you predict, you need to clip this and be like, Brian knew early on that he was an MVP candidate, and there's your signature win.
That's right. So we were basically teaming up and bandwagoning this thing. If it worked out for both of us, this could be a social media win.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I did a similar thing to you, but just a little bit before the pod, not mid-pod, and changed my pick. And the pick I'm going for is Justin Gordon, Newcastle Eagles. Drew, you may be familiar with this player.
JG.
He is just a big-time player. He's doing it against the best. And if we measure it against the best, what have we done since preseason? He's got overly excited about one team and one team only, the London Lions. We've talked about them being stacked, maybe even having the deepest roster we've ever seen in the BBL. And let me give you some stats. I know we're trying to do the eye test, but let me give you some stats here. In the three games he's played against the London Lions, he's had 24 points and 17 rebounds in his first outing for first player of the week.
Talk to him.
He then hits up a 17 points and 16 rebounds and then follows that up deliciously for dessert with a 26 point and 11 rebound outing against a team that everybody is coining as possibly just taking the whole kit and caboodle, all four. So for me,
as well. Excuse me.
Yeah, on Sky Sports as well, you're absolutely right. So he shows out. He's a player that we can trust when the lights come on, that the Newcastle Eagles are going to be in every single race. I'm not saying they're going to win everything, but they're going to be in every single race. And for that, I think that Justin Gordon has a good chance of being our MVP. Over to you guys.
I think I'm up. I like this pick. I know you guys
you
told me I have to love or
this.
Loathe. Honestly, Drew said it first. I was going to play by the rules, but Drew introduced like and I ran with
it. I said like love, by the way.
Okay, you got me there. You know what? I'll bump it up to love. There you go, Jay.
All right.
Thanks, Jay.
I feel like this is a really good pick. I will move on from the game against the Plymouth Raiders, the one you conveniently left out, which was a little bit of a tougher game for him. Not completely consistent, but you know what?
Now.
Yeah. We're in a pandemic. Tough games happen. I feel like the only real criticism here is, again, Newcastle is so deep. And so, you know, yep. If you take him out of this lineup, there's so many other people who could step into that spot. But yeah, completely agree with you, Jay. I think this is a great pick.
Yeah, I loathe it.
Oh, is it on you?
I don't know what order we're going in.
Oh, I thought I was at the Skylar. How rude of you.
Is there a list somewhere that I need to look at?
Yes, Brian. Are you not looking at the notes?
Come on, Brian.
Not looking at the notes. I'm looking at you guys. This is a family-friendly pod.
We're trying to flow right now. But
no, you're the guest, so you take it away because you were really excited about this point you were going to make. So go ahead.
I was. I think the Eagles have an embarrassment of riches. You've got Drew Lasker hitting buzzer-beater three-pointers, taking a lot of pressure off of Justin Gordon. You've got Evan Maxwell, who has more points and almost more rebounds than him. You've got Ramon Fletcher powering the way at PG, picking it up when he needs to close out a game, hitting big shots, but facilitating the rest of the time. So Justin Gordon reminds me of, I think he can be that MVP level in a couple seasons, but he still seems a little early. Like he's still putting in his base and foundation and will really be that dominant player. I think he's in a great system right now, obviously, with the Eagles to really grow his game. And Drew, he is one of the fastest players I've ever seen of getting vertical. Like he's all of a sudden just 12 feet in the air out of nowhere. And, I like the descriptor of like he's so sudden, like he'll just be on defense and then he's all of a sudden 13 feet blocking a shot. It's incredible to watch him. But I think it's a little premature to have him as MVP right now. So I'm going to go loathe. Even though I don't loathe you, Justin, please come on the podcast.
Nice little plug there. This one's tough. I totally agree with you, Brian, about giving young players too much too soon. But, I mean, how can I loathe my teammates? So obviously I love it because he's part of the Newcastle Eagles. And you talk about a filth of riches. I mean, wouldn't you rather be rich than poor? I mean,
yes. That's
someone else's Always. Problem. But I will say he quietly gets it done because I look at the box score at the end of the game and I'm like, for example, we played Cheshire Sunday night and I was actually looking at the box score to see what Maxwell did. And I look at Gordon, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even know he had led us in scoring. And so, and like you said, he's very quick vertically. Actually, yep. Coach McLeod says he's the fastest guy within 3 feet in the league.
Yeah.
Which I think Justin is still confused. He doesn't really understand that point, but, but yeah, I agree. And one thing that doesn't get talked about enough is his defense.
Yeah,
he
so good.
Guards the best player on the other team. He shut down Liggins on Sky Sports. Yeah, that was a game. Yep. But one little secret that I will – I don't know if I should reveal this because this is locker room talk. So JG, which I call him, JG and I, we have this thing. So I always ask him what he's eaten before the night before a game. And it is statistically – if he eats a certain thing, he has a great game. And if he doesn't eat it, he's subpar. So I don't think I'll spill the beans on what he's eating. But let's put it like this. Against Cheshire, he ate that one thing. And Friday night, he didn't eat that one thing, which he had a subpar game against the Worcester Wolves, I believe, we were playing. But otherwise, I love the pick.
So it's Nando's?
It's a little cheeky bit, Nando's.
It's a little bit more expensive than Nando's. Is that my budget? Okay. That's for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, we need to get that answer at some point. You know, that
we
needs
talked
to,
about a filth of riches. Yeah, get him on your pod and ask him what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one for the high tea hoops for sure. And I think on the point of his explosiveness, I think that is what I'm really watching on the eye test is I'm seeing his confidence soar there. If you watch those first couple of games, because Drew said to me, like, you know, he is off the charts athletic. Yeah. There was a couple of times where I'd seen him just, you know, not be right where he wanted to be on those spots and trying to get those awkward finishes. Now he's right where he wants to be. He's feeling that confidence. And now he's putting out highlight reels on places like Hoops Fix and stuff like that and BBL Fix. And I think for that reason, he's going to start to garner that attention. And then it's what he does in those finals or what does Fletch let him do in those finals as he will be the floor general out there. So he might sabotage all of us because he's going to be mad.
Drew, is he winning the BBL dunk contest?
Yeah, but he requires 30 minutes of pregame stretch first.
He's really?
Like, he's like an old – his birthday was Sunday, so he just turned 27, but he's an old 27.
An old 27?
He has to stretch, which is fine by me.
Yeah, you got
to
get that flexibility. Exactly. Got to get the mobility in.
Are we forgetting Dirk Williams, or does he beat him?
Dirk?
I would pay to see that.
I would pay to see that. Absolutely right. Anyway, so – four great picks right there. We will let you, the fans, vote on who you think made the best pick and put the best case forward for that pick. So moving on, I want to move on to the British rising star. So what young British player has impressed you and you feel is the next star of this league? Tyler.
I am going for McSwiggin. My guy
McSwiggin.
Is McSwiggin. McSwiggin. I feel like we need to like clarify what's like the young star line because I feel like he's a little bit on the edge. He's 25. We'll call that young. But, you know, he shot 64% from the field this year. I think we really saw his kind of star power in his debut for the Wolves. He had 16 points in the first quarter. It was literally just three after three after three, just draining them. And so I think that game really showed us, like, he does have the power to come in and, like, take over games when he wants to. And just talk about, like, a name that has star power, like McSwishin, McSwaggin, like, so many nicknames, so many merch possibilities. I feel like I'm just really excited to see how he's going to develop and where he's going to go from here.
Yeah, good pick. I'm not sure. Are we able to loathe a young kid?
No.
I feel like it's not allowed.
This is tough.
Hey, you know what? You're a professional, so all bets are off. Yeah, so I'm going to loathe this pick, Skylar.
Oh.
Yeah, because for a couple of reasons. First of all, I love the name McSwaggin, but I feel like it's premature. I mean, you can't be a rookie in the first month of your career getting a nickname. That's number one. Number two, he's had some great games. Obviously, that debut was amazing to watch. Uh-huh.
Yep.
But there's been a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he had a donut against Plymouth on the road. He had 5 points against Manchester Giants. he's up and down. And, you know, what I'm looking for is, you don't have to put up big numbers, but I need consistency. If you're going to give me 10 points, give me 10 points. And that's my only issue with McSwiggin, is that he's just a little bit up and down at the moment. But again, that comes with being young. I mean, when you're young, that's the most challenging thing about being a professional, is being consistent. So that's why you have to respect guys like Ramon Fletcher and guys like that, Darius Defoe, who's done it over a long period of time, not only one, but in the process put up great stats as well. So, but yeah, I'm gonna have to, my bad, McSwiggin.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's tough.
Cold. It's a cold world.
Tough love over here, baby.
I'm so confused. Is it my turn now? I don't want to interrupt anymore.
Now it's your turn.
Just get excited, man. You just go.
Love this pick, Skylar. And I'm also super impressed you basically found your BBL equivalent of Duncan Robinson, the 6'7 white guy that's a shooter from three, who can be a little more dynamic. Knew you would pick this.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, Drew, the definition of swag is, you can be inconsistent. Swaggy P is one of the most inconsistent players in the NBA I've ever seen. So a little Mick Swaggin is like, all right, he's not going to be consistent every game, but he's going to put up 16 points and a half. I was watching that game live, so it's burned into my brain.
Yeah, same.
And so I love it. That's all. That overpowers all the donuts I've seen. So I love this pick. I love the swagginess of it. I love that he can hit the threes like that. I think it's a good pick.
Quick question, though, Brian. Where's Swaggy P at now?
I mean, he's doing some great stuff on social media.
He's all over the League Fits Instagram.
League Fits.
Not on the court, though, right?
I mean, some of the photo shoots are on the court.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good summer player. Good summer player. Yeah.
Killing it in great summer league.
LA Fitness pickup games. He's amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah, stats are solid there. I think for me, I think I'm going to pull a Skylar right here, and I'm just going to say I like the pick.
Nice.
And a couple of reasons that I'm lukewarm on the pick is, one, this whole thing about the cavalry arriving. So these imports arriving, I worry is going to interrupt his development, how he's doing. It's probably going to lower his minutes slightly, and he's going to have to make some adjustments. And not that I think that that's going to lead to ultimate failure, but I think that it's going to take him a while to pick his poison. Also, like Drew said, he's kind of very up and down. You know, he's a quarter by quarter guy, so you never know what's going to happen. But hey, that we're talking about a rising star, so we might expect a little bit of fluctuation between performances. But yeah, I've been really impressed with him. I didn't think that he would be able to play the way that he does in the BBL. He's sneaky athletic. I don't know if you saw that. I can't remember who he was playing, but he had that kind of reverse dunk, and very, very you know, I wasn't expecting that. It was very impressive. And also he's pretty strong, you know, so he can guard multiple positions. So for me, I like I like him. I'm just worried that once that cavalry arrives, does he get a little bit lost in translation? But you know, great name, like you said, to play around with.
Well, that takes me to my pick of the young British rising star. And I have to go with the Surrey Scorchers star, should I say, Evan Walsh.
The man right now, the man.
I really like this kid. He's averaging 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists while shooting 50%. From the floor, 30% from the three. He needs to work on moving that up. But like we talked about at the top of the show, it's not even about the numbers with this kid. It's about the impact. Every time I watch the Surrey Scorchers play, I'm in disarray. Like, what are these guys doing? As soon as they put Evan on the court, it's like they've injected like a battery for this team.
Yep.
All of a sudden, this team start doing the little things. They start scrambling. They start hustling. They start playing defense. And he is the main reason for that. And I said it on the last show, and it might be controversial, as we just dropped today on Tuesday, that he's their best player at this moment in time. I know that's tough to say when you got Ryan Richards, Teo Begende sitting there. But, you know, when I say best, I don't mean by talent, but I just mean like, you know, that fits a team. He understands what this team needs, and he's going out there and he's trying to implement that. And that's what it's all about. When you talk about winning, it's not about who can score, who can get stats. It's about, okay, can you play a role and can you perfect it? And that's why I like this kid. And the most important thing that I like is the consistency. Unlike McSwiggin, mm-hmm. you know what you're going to get from this guy every game. If you're not going to get points, you know you're going to get energy and you're going to get winning plays. Like he got that offensive rebound against the –
Yes.
Who was it? I think it was –
The Phoenix.
Chester Phoenix. Yeah.
Yep, huge for their first play. Win.
Exactly. That's the type of stuff that I look for in players. And so, I got to go with my guy, Young Walsh.
I agree. I was gonna put that moment out there as someone who just joined the BBL from NBL D1, and he's making those type of mature plays where he's basically icing the game for them.
Huge.
And that, you know, he didn't chuck it back up. He was calm, collected in the final minute, got the offensive rebound, kicked it out, secured the win. He's been really impressive after he was on fire in the NBL. And I think you're right. I think he's one of the reasons that they won their first game in our powering. So I love this one, Drew.
Yeah, I got to say, I love it as well. I think just the story, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, he comes back, he's about to play for his old NBL team, you know, maybe thinking he's been overlooked, then walked into the right gym, Coach Creon picks him up, and then you might be remiss in thinking that the talent on the Surrey Scorchers, there's no way he's going to play, right? And then not only does he force himself into actually playing minutes, mm-hmm. you know, which did start a little bit slowly for him, he then all of a sudden started pushing himself into the starting lineup, which for me is, I think, a mistake for the team and for him. I think he's got to be that spark plug off the bench, and I ultimately think that's where Creon wants to play him anyway. But I love the pick. He just comes in with an energy, and what I like to see from a rising star is that fearless factor. I'm going to take you on, whether it's trying to score, whether I've got to play defense, whether I've got to go and rebound. Like he's not looking at anything he's being asked to do as being beneath him. He just wants to play, and he just wants to get better. So for me, love the pick.
Yeah, I love it as well. I was going to touch on the same thing as Jay. I think when you talk about homegrown stars or British stars, I think the story really plays into it. And you know, it's just been a really fun story to follow with him. It's also kind of crazy. He's, what, 22? And he's 6'4". So, like, he could still have so much left to grow and, you know, kind of fill out a little bit, which is really crazy. So, yeah, can't wait to see what the Scorchers do with him.
My turn.
Oh, Brian. This is my sign saying,
yeah, Brian.
It's your turn now.
No, I'm doing
it. Well, I just
not figured this out
I'm like, look, I'm like, all right, how do I – these are good arguments, so I'm trying to construct my argument because I feel like I'm going to lose every category.
We're definitely right. Losing every category.
I mean, you're picking first every time, Skylar. Okay, so my pick, I'm going to go with the player who is the definition of a young up-and-comer. Hasn't quite proven on the court yet, but is still, you know, has a lot of talent, shows some flashes. But I'm going to go with Zach Powell on the Manchester Giants. I think he's born in 1999, which is crazy. At least he's not a 2000s Jesus. Baby. So he's really young, still 21. He's got that guard position. And, he's really athletic. He shows those sparks on the court. He had an incredible highlight reel dunk on Johnny Bunyan on a fast break that I loved. Which was electric, which is probably 50% of the reason I'm picking him here. And I think he's got a lot of potential, and I love to see him progress through the British system, and he's getting his chance on the Giants. I've already picked another Giants player, so I'm just being consistent here. And that's my case. He blocked Johnny Bunyan, and he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, I'm lukewarm on this. I like the pick. Somebody who kind of picked him out super, super early was our former coach, Gary Stronach, was a big fan of Zach Powell. He was talking about him very, very early on. I think Coach Burns not entirely sure where he fits into the mix. So there's sometimes where we see him play some big minutes and I'm expecting them to kick on, and then the next game maybe he just plays a little bit less. But I think that as a young player, you just need to adapt to the psychology of that. That's just part of the process, especially for a young British player coming up. You know, you're just going to have to fight through that. And I think that that's why I just like the pick, don't necessarily love the pick, because I think he's in the middle of this sink or swim situation that Coach Byrne is presenting to him right now. So we will see. But I'm sure the Giants are super, super high on him and hope he's going to come through. And also he brings something completely different than Hudson. So I really like the combination of those two. So I'm going to stick with just liking it since that's just become a part of the game now, right?
And he's playing with the MVP, guys. It's tough out there.
It's true.
Oh, nice one.
Am I up? Sorry, Brian's messing me up.
No,
now.
It's me. It's me. I'm just like completely relaxing now, aren't I? So
you just went. So it's Skylar's turn to jump on.
Yeah, do you love or loathe?
Yeah, then me.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Man. No, we can just end there. We can just end on a like. We can move on. We don't have to go through this.
Oh, we need Skylar. Come on.
Here, I'll give you another like. Great. I'm going with like as well. I feel like we haven't seen a ton of minutes from Zach Powell, so I've liked him so far. I'm just not entirely convinced. But another one where he's 21 and 6 foot, like just thinking about, like, when did LaMelo grow so much? He was like, I guess he's 20.
Or like Tatum or Giannis. Yeah.
Yeah. Who am I thinking of that shot up when they were like in their early 20s? Like there's just so much room for them to still fill out, which is so crazy to me. But yeah, I like it, Brian.
Thank you. We can move on, Jay, if you want.
I kind of see it's on me actually. And I can kind of see where this is going, that I'm going to be the trigger
the
guy
loather.
For all the social media hate. Because I'm the only one that's brave enough to keep it 100 on this pod, I see. But by the way, I preface that by saying loathe doesn't mean we hate these guys or
don't. No, totally not.
It just means that we don't think they're going to win this award. So let me put that out there before
Sapatinos
come out there. But with this pick in particular, I'm going to say neither. Like, I'm not going to love it or loathe it. The reason being, if I could be honest on here, I actually had to go look him up. I didn't know who that was. So, I mean, we just played them recently and he got a few minutes on the court. And I mean, it wasn't enough for me to really tell if he had potential or not. But I will say this, when it comes, because I've been playing in this league for 16 years, so I've kind of been around a long time. So when it comes to guys who don't get a huge opportunity, especially for the Brits, because they don't get a lot, the young Brits, they don't get a lot of court time. It's very easy to say that, you know, they play hard, which he did. He came in the game and he played hard. But for me, I got to see more than just coming on the court and playing hard. You have to, in those 3 minutes that you're on the court, I have to be able to see something like an Evan Wash. Mm-hmm. Like you could just see a winning plays when you come on the court. That has more depth than just coming out there and playing really, really hard. So for that, I really can't call it on Zach Powell just yet. I haven't seen enough yet, so I just want to be fair to the young man. But with all these young guys, him and McSwig and all these guys, they're the future, and I hope that they are able to become the best of themselves. But, I'm just going to stay in the middle with this one.
You're such a hard ass, Drew. You know what I mean? not only did you pull the vet cards, you know, hey, young buck, 16 years here, but also said you weren't sure who he was. He's devastated right now.
I know, he big-timed him there.
I'm sorry, Zach.
He Mariah carried him there. I don't know her.
I don't know her.
It wasn't. No, but on the real though, you got to prove it to me. I'm one of those guys, like, I just can't be giving out stuff to people.
That's fine. Yeah,
I mean, you're picking last every time, so I felt bad. I had to give you some more options at that last spot here.
Yeah, I appreciate you throwing me a bone right there. And, you know, I'm going to take a guy. I've kind of got history with this kid, so I know him pretty well. Is Elliot Sentence that's just headed down to Plymouth, okay? So, you know, we talk about the definition of a rising star, and I just think it's somebody that's getting an opportunity to play at the highest level. And if you look at his journey – his journey has been pretty crazy, because when I first came across him, they were trying to get him down to the academy in Plymouth because he was struggling to find a place out in the States. And then we look at what he was doing in NBL 1, especially when it came to coming into the cup competition, to get into the trophy competition, against and getting all the way to the final with Solent. And he was a big reason. He was putting up big, big numbers. He's a scorer. He's a bucket getter. He comes to Plymouth. And look, this is another roster that people were really, really excited about. And it was interesting to see where he was going to fit. And I think he comes off the bench and played that role really, really well. I think Coach James has got him in a position where he's letting him be comfortable and do what he does, and that is score. You can tell that whether he's playing pickup ball, whether he's playing in the local league, whether he's playing at Division One NCAA, whether he's playing in the pros, he can score at every single level. So he just finds a way. He's not necessarily the most athletic, but he's sneaky. He just figures those things out. There's a couple of times where you see him drive into the bucket and you think he's got nowhere to go, and he kind of changes hands and he does some kind of strange, weird kind of things that are getting him easy buckets. That shows me that he's adapted his game. So he understands his limitations and he's finding a way around that. And then also across the stat line, he's bringing you something in those games, which is all that you can ask. I think at this level, I want him to just be a little bit more of a consistent shooter from three. I know he's got it in him, but he's very streaky at the minute, because I think he's going to need that. I think at this level, I think he's going to have to be able to knock down a few threes to open the floor for himself. But hey, averaging 10 points across the board in the cup competition, I think it's impressive. I think he's taken this step in his stride. And there's going to be a couple of really, really big games in him. I've seen his breakout game was 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. That's pretty impressive for somebody who's just kind of come into the league.
Yeah, I'll say I like this pick. I feel like, you know, Brian and I, we're newer BBL fans, and Sentence was one of the first names I learned, because you could just kind of tell he was a star. I do feel like my one caveat is almost the caveat I made with my own pick, which is, what is the line for that young British star? He's 26.
Yeah.
Are we counting 26 as like a young up-and-comer? I'm not sure about that.
He's had a tough paper round, guys. He's had a tough paper round. It's been a long journey. What was the Lakers guy that finally got his contract? He's like that guy. You know, he's there.
Swaggy P.
Great journey. No Swaggy P. He's still in the summer league. Yeah.
The gray head guy.
You know, Elliot, sorry.
For me, Elliot Sentence, first of all, his name, I don't know, is really catchy. And I was introduced to Elliot Sentence in the trophy finals in March. And, you know, obviously we have our scouting reports. And when I look at him come on court, I'm like, okay, this is Elliot Sentence, because, his body type isn't really that reflects of someone who can get buckets like that. But he clearly proved otherwise as he dropped 26 on us in that trophy final. And I think the biggest thing that you touched on was his elusiveness. I think, Brian, you just talked about it, his elusiveness, like getting around the bucket. He's great at kind of maneuvering around the defense, which is a skill, by the way. And so I really like his upside. If we can call 26 upside, I will say that, because he's in the BBL, he's in the big league now. So he's the rising star. The only thing I would say he just needs to improve on at this level is just the consistency. And he'll learn that, like when he gets used to the competition week in, week out, because he comes from a team in Solon where they dominated. Most of their games aren't competitive. So, you know, how accurate are those stats really? But, you know, in a BBL, you're playing pros every night. So, you know, I just think once he gets used to that, I could see him having like a breakout year next season. But I love the pick, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with all those picks. I love this one too. I think he's a solid contributor. He's a role player that makes an impact in these games. And, you know, when you watch these games, you just keep hearing Sentence, Sentence, Sentence. He's done a lot of great things on the court. And you're right, he may not be the most athletic, but he's elusive. He knows how. It's like a, I don't know what it is when you look at these, not athletic, but like they can still get to their spot. They can still maneuver around the defense. They have the moves and the footwork to do what they need to do. So I think this is a great pick.
Yeah, I think you know, I love the elusiveness just because, like, I understand that. Like, we can't all be blessed. You know, I played with Drew in his younger, more athletic days. And, you know, I had to find ways to try and combat that. And it wasn't easy, that's for sure. You have to come up with some pretty inventive stuff sometimes when they're as fast as... I remember the Ant Martin and Drew Lasker backcourt that you blinked and they were down the other end of the court. So tough for him, but I think he's going to make a good leap. Okay, so again, some pretty solid picks. Show love to the person you think has got this one right. Long way to go in the season, but who do you like so far? Give them a vote. All right, last but not least, we have Coach of the Year. It's important we talk about the big fellas on the sideline. And, you know, what have you seen so far that suggests your coaching pick will be taking home this accolade, Skylar?
I want to start this one off by just saying this, I'm sure, Drew, you can confirm, has been a very tough season for your teams. It's, you know, you're playing in the middle of a pandemic. The tiers are changing every day. Like, no one knows what the rules are. I'm sure this has been a very tough pandemic. I've been super impressed with all of the coaches and how they've handled everything. Just want to say that off the bat. And the players as well. Shout out the players as well. That being said, I am going with Coach Paternostro of the Leicester Riders. I feel like the Riders have looked, you know, super strong this year. I feel like this year of any year is going to be the year where having a coach that you've had with your team for a really long time and having a coach who's had a lot of successes in the past is really going to play well for you because of what I just said. There's so many things popping up here and there with the pandemic and, you know, you're having to manage players who are also dealing with a pandemic that they've never dealt with before. And so I'm sure that's incredibly tough. The Riders have looked strong despite it. And so I just feel like in a year like this year, you're going to need a coach like Coach Paternostro.
Totally agree. And firstly, I love your point about the props to all the coaches out there, because this year is different and being able to navigate through these muddy waters doesn't get enough plaudits. But definitely agree with Coach P. That would have been my number one pick. When we talked about the preseason predictions, I picked them third. And my only question with them was leadership, because they were losing, you know, Andy Thompson, that captain, that voice for the team. And I wasn't sure if Connor and Jamel was ready to step into that role. But this team just seems to, I think they're getting to the point where it's not even about the players anymore. It's about the culture, because no matter who they bring in, year out, they don't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're undefeated in the league. They won a group of death, but they threw the game so they could play Glasgow. I had to put that out there. But Coach P, he is a great coach. He's a great motivator. And he's really friendly with refs during games. So I'm pretty sure all the referees in the British Basketball League love
him. Wow. Are you allowed to comment on that, Drew?
Here.
On what?
On referees in the BBL?
I said he's very friendly with the – sorry. I was actually trying to say a joke, because anyone knows Rob, like he's animated on the sidelines with the refs. So I was saying he's friendly with the refs. I wasn't saying he was like slipping pounds in their pocket.
Oh, I wasn't saying that. I was just saying players commenting on refs. Just saying refs as a player is dangerous ground. You got to watch out.
He said it.
I don't have any.
We heard it.
Our refs do a great job in this league.
Good cover. Love it. Okay, mine. Love it, Skylar. I mean, as we got into more of the BBL history and we've gotten to know the BBL as newer fans, I mean, what? He's 5-time BBL Coach of the Year, 3 championships, so many trophies. This year, you said it, Drew, it's about culture coming in, because everything is so, you know, tossed together, last minute, training schedules all over the place. You don't know if you're going to play or not. And I think having someone like that in the locker room and leading that culture is really powerful. And I think that's a testament to how successful they've been this season. So I love this one, Skylar.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, so I love the pick. First of all, the most impressive thing is that you can actually get his name right, which Drew struggles with every week on the BBL show. I'm not going to ask him to repeat it again, but No,
I definitely practiced like at least 10 times before coming on.
Drew's like that uncle that just gets the name just slightly just off with everybody.
Drew, do you struggle with, I always hear everything in an English accent and I'm not sure how to pronounce it in an American accent. Like I can't copy it one-to-one.
I'm just bad with names.
No
he
excuses.
Gave you the exit door and you didn't walk out. Yeah. I love the pick because he's just annoyingly good at everything, you know. So he was a really good player. I remember him as a player. He's a great coach. He comes onto the comms, just absolutely kills it. Like he's made to be a commentator. It's just so annoying. But you know, I love him and I love what he's been able to put together with you know, people like Russ Levenston down in Leicester. For me, are they the best team in the league? Time will tell, but they're definitely the team at the moment I most enjoy watching. I really enjoy watching them. I'm connected and enjoy their players. We had Gino Crandell come on here. He was really, really impressive guest. Really enjoyed having him. It was just easy conversation. And, you know, he had a lot to say about that Leicester culture. So for me, yeah, love the pick.
Good job. But moving on to my pick, I'm going to go with the dark horse. There's a lot of, you know, candidates out there, but I'm going to go with the Glasgow Rocks head coach, Gareth Murray. And he won't win this award, obviously, at the end of the year, but I feel like I need to give him his just due and props because, to be honest, I don't see how they have won with that roster. In particular, I can't get over how they beat Plymouth at Plymouth after a back-to-back with Bristol. After driving down from Glasgow, which if you don't know your geography, that is a 12-hour trip from Plymouth to Glasgow. So, you know, for me, it's just telling me that he knows what he's doing and just wait till he gets talent. You know, he's going to be even better. And not only that, he's the player coach as well, which I've seen it up front for 6 years with Fab Flournoy. That is not an easy task. So to be able to win games, lead on the court and from the sidelines and, you know, get those guys to buy in, I've just been impressed with it. So shout out to Coach Murray.
Yeah, I love this pick. I think it's a great shout out. I agree. He's probably not going to win this by the end of the season unless they, you know, win out. But to not even be able to practice in a facility at the start of the season, like thinking of a professional basketball team just practicing out on an outdoor court, like it's pickup hoops or something, and still pulling off some of these wins, it's incredibly impressive for him to be that player coach and trying to coach in his first year through this entire pandemic and all the restrictions going on and off and having Scotland be different than England. I don't know if you can put someone in a harder position in their first year when they're also trying to contribute on the court. So I love this pick, and I think it's a great shout out.
Yeah, I love this pick as well. I think one thing to note is now that we won't see Drew playing on the court anymore for the rest of the season because he hasn't chosen his coach. I think
Ann said he wasn't his first pick either.
I can't pick my players or my coach.
Oh, there we go. All right. I'm glad you played that card. Coach McLeod, forgive him. It's all clear now. You know, we change the rules as we go along here on the show. The reason why I love this is obviously he's an ex-player of mine. So I signed him when I was coaching down at the Raiders. I love his demeanor, and his demeanor is made for coaching. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. And I think that's perfect. And also as a coach, and when he was a player for me as well, he speaks candidly. So he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. He's going to be pretty straight up, pretty forward with you. And I think as a player, that's what you really, really want. You don't want to be on the back foot of promises. I think that he's going to let everybody know. And how they've won these games is by, one, playing really good basketball. You know, they have been playing some really good basketball. But also, it just looked like everybody is bought into playing their roles. And obviously I've spoke before on the show how I played a role in them beating Plymouth, you know, because by signing him and letting him get used to those tight rims down at the pavilions enabled him to hit the two big threes that gave him the win. So I love this pick.
Yeah.
There you go. Take your W's in 2020. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I love this pick. I think it's, you know, I think you guys have touched on great points. Before my pick, I said, you know, what these coaches have had to go through this season is unbelievable. And like you guys said, truly no one has been in a harder position than this man. So shouts out. I think this is a great pick.
Thank you.
Good job, Drew. I'm next. I'm on time this time. I'm going to go with Coach Ian McLeod, Newcastle Eagles. I think this is a great pick. Thank you, Drew, for your rule that you can't pick your own coach because it dropped to me. You know, we spoke with Ramon Fletcher earlier this season, and we talked about just how much you guys, I'm speaking to you now, Drew, you guys just fit, like, especially early in the season when you kick the, you know, the bleep out of the Lions, if I can bleep myself here.
There you go.
You know, they looked disjointed. They didn't look like they had a system in place. They didn't look like they knew how to play together, what their roles were, where you guys just, everyone knew what they were doing. Everyone had their role. You knew exactly how to play together. You could execute. And it was just so impressive to see a team come together like that with everything we've talked about with the pandemic and preparing for this season. And I love an internal hire, you know, promoting that person from interim where you guys got that trophy last season. He knows the culture. He's building on the culture, gets promoted up to that head coaching role. You guys have played amazing this season. So I think this is a great pick, especially as you guys work through the season and, you know, potentially win it all out. He is a really good candidate to win this year.
Yeah. So, I love this pick. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love this pick is who in the hell wanted to take that job after the legendary Fab Flournoy? You know, that is the equivalent of, you know, taking over Sir Alex Ferguson, somebody of that ilk. That is the level of the man that he stepped in and replaced. And I tell you, he did a great job to get silverware last year under the conditions in that whole week that came about. Yep. Was incredible. And like you said, I just love the roster top to bottom. And you know, we talk about culture. So it's Leicester and Newcastle for me right now. They have the culture, they have the right things in place. It looks like Fletch and Cortez have played with each other forever. The last couple of games, especially, like, I'm seeing these little things that takes years for players playing together to do, and they're just doing it kind of off the cuff. And you got to credit that as well to keeping around people like Drew, keeping people like Darius. Those pieces are absolutely vital for your culture. Just like you're looking at Jamal and Connor Washington for Leicester, you have to have those guys in the locker room that understand the culture, they're with the coach, and I just love this pick, considering the looming figure of Fab Flournoy that probably haunts him every time he looks in the trophy cabinet.
Or watches a Raptors game.
That's a great point, Jay. I also love this pick. I feel like I said earlier, like, I don't fully blame players or coaches this year if, like, there is some little inconsistencies or there are games where people are entirely focused. Like, you know, this has been an incredibly hard year on people, you know, mentally, physically. And so I think I've been so impressed with the Eagles just in that so many of the teams have looked like they've been a little bit disjointed, or they didn't quite know where they were, or, you know, they didn't quite fit, or they hadn't quite figured it out yet. And the Eagles have just looked so strong and so consistent. So yeah, shouts out. Great pick.
Yeah. Love it.
Can't loathe me this time, Drew.
Yeah, please loathe him. Please.
It's in your best
interest. You really want your
to.
Playing time gone.
I kind of need a job. So, but I love it. 2020 has been devastating for many people out there, but for Coach McLeod, it has been great. Trophy final winner, BBL Cup semifinals, top of the league in the championship in the BBL, and he recruited a great team. So, you know, we have some talent up and down that roster, but what people don't understand is it's tough to manage talent. It's tough to coach talent. And so, you know, he is maximizing the talent we have in that room. And so that is a great pick. Love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so last but not least. So it was tough for me not to pick Coach Vince. You know, so again, I'm probably just asking for one of those motivational videos to come out again. But for me not to pick him, I think Europe is going to be a huge distraction for him. I think he's got, with the way that the schedule is presented, with everything that's going on and COVID and just, it's just all stacked against them for when that hits January time. I think that's going to be a huge distraction for them and tough for them to turn around. So for me, I'm going with Coach Paul James down here at the Plymouth Raiders. You know, this really is going to be the first season where he's under pressure. You know, there's expectation now. And he's got the experience, I think, to deal with it. He's got the experience. He's got the know-how to navigate those pressures that could perhaps fold a younger coach. I think for me, one of the things that I put is, you know, the owners own another basketball club. So they have knowledge. So he's going to get a support system there that he's probably maybe never had in terms of people who know the game and understand what he needs. I think that they will go out there and pick up a piece or two. You know, one of the frustrations, I think, with the league at the minute is I'd like to hear more about what's going on with some of these issues with players. So, you know, Mullins, where is he? Love to know a little bit more about that situation. And Andrew Lawrence, you know, how long is he going to be out for? Will be interesting. You know, are they going to start to get nervous now and think we might need a piece to cover them over? So I think, you know, I've got them quite high in my predictions. I'm a huge fan of Coach Paul James. He had a lot of time for me when I was coaching. So anytime we used to play against him, had some really intelligent conversations with him. He gave me some really, really good advice. And now he's down here in Plymouth. That's my team. They're loaded. They've got Ashley Hamilton, Andrew Lawrence when he comes back. And I think they're going to add some pieces and make a run.
Am I up? Sorry.
Yes.
We've really made it. Brian and I have really made.
I put your brain in a pretzel. Thing.
Yeah, we truly are so bad at this. I'm going to say I like this pick only because I feel like Brian and I are still pretty new British basketball fans, and I'm just a little bit nervous to go either way on this one for some reason. I feel like, talk about someone who's like been around the BBL for so long and has so much experience in the BBL and knows the league so well. And I'm sure he will bring that to this position. And again, like I said, having that kind of experience in a year like this year really will pay off. So yeah, I'm going to say I like this pick.
Thank you.
You talked about Coach Vince, Jay, and our listeners out there that might be saying, well, yeah, London Lions, they are talented from top to bottom. How can Coach Vince win the Coach of the Year award? Very easily, just win all four. You win all four, He will be the Coach of the Year. So, but anyways, Coach Paul James, I love it. 7-1 in the cup competition without their starting point guard, without Ashley Hamilton for a game who had GB duties. I was impressed with that group because I felt like that was the second best group out of the three groups. I'm a little bit concerned about the play as of late, losing to London twice, dropping to Manchester on the road. Maybe, you know, that's starting to catch up to them without having Lawrence. But, you know, the start, you know, I can't ignore that. I'm impressed with it. And if they win a championship, which would be the first time since 2007, you got to put Paul James in that conversation.
Yeah, I would just say the inconsistency, you know, of their wins and losses and still trying to like get going a little bit, you know, that makes me on the more loathe side of this pick. And I think it's a testament to the Lions' struggles early that we're not talking about. None of us picked Vince, you know, Coach McCauley, on how they struggled early. And you're right, Drew, it's really hard when you have that much talent and that many players, and especially when, you know, players are going back and forth on the team, off the team. NBA is on, then he's off. You have key role players going on and off that he hasn't been able to pull them together yet, and so we're not talking about him. So for this one, the inconsistently, I'm gonna give a loathe, Jay.
I don't mind that.
I hope it's. It's not loathing. I think they're doing a good job, but it's kind of the loathe of, you know, I don't think he'll win it just because of the inconsistency, and I think these other candidates are so strong.
I think just to combat that, I think just the deep pockets of the owners make me excited because I think that they've done enough to bring some intrigue from them. I think arguably there was some kind of feeling that, you know, let's just get through this season, see how it plays out. But I think they're engaged. I think they're excited. I think that they're seeing something there. I'd be surprised if they don't make some upgrades. But I'm with you, you know, just finishing out on my point, I'm with you. It's so, so tough not to put Vinton there. And maybe it's just a little bit too obvious to talk about at this present time. But I want to see them. The one thing I will say about them, and I don't want to get too much into the Lions because I'm obviously talking about Coach James, but the one thing about them is that they're super confident right now, but I do want to see how they react when they get punched in the mouth again by one of the big boys and then see if they've still got that swagger and still playing. If they have, then they're going to be trouble for anyone. But there you go. That ends our Coach of the Year picks. Again, we'll put that out as our vote. It would be remiss not to have a little High Tea Hoops flavor to this situation. So I am going to hand over to Brian, who's going to take us through this last little bit before I play it out at the end. Your show, Brian.
All right, let's do this. So in typical High Tea Hoops fashion, we definitely focus a lot on off-court, on-court, not necessarily stats as much, and a lot more fun categories on our show. So we're going to do a speed round. We hit the most important categories, MVP, top British player, best coach. But we're going to go through some fun categories now, kind of like the senior superlatives, kind of like just like the write-in candidates for these different. So I'm going to go a fun speed round here. I'm just going to rattle off some categories. I'm going to say your name. So I'll say the category, and then I'll go, Jay, and just answer as fast as you can. All right? Don't think about it. Rattle it off. Don't even pause to do an explanation. Just say it, and we'll come back around if you want to explain it more for each of these categories. All right? Okay. Rules clear?
I like
it. Very.
All right, let's do this. Skylar, best fit?
Liggins.
Drew, best fit?
AGP.
Jay, best fits?
Drew Lasker, baby. Let's go.
Ooh. All very good picks. You guys did great. Anyone want to expand on their pick? We talked about AGP. I mean, that Sky Sports outfit was incredible.
Yeah, I think Drew brought a little heat himself. You know, the Jordan 11s, the skinny pants.
Skinny, stretchy.
Impressive.
I'm going to give a shout out to Tom Bonnet for those pants and no socks. Thank you, Selena, for pointing that out. As you discussed on your last pod. Love that fit. All right, next one. Best social media moment. Jay.
Tom Bonnet, when he was talking about, he came out with that t-shirt.
Do you want to say it was on the t-shirt?
About him being goofy. He loves it.
All right, Skylar, best moment.
Kevin Ware, I do not talk to pawns.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Drew, best moment.
Kevin Ware calling Sheffield Sharks trash.
Oh, love that one.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's a good one.
This is a popular theme.
Seriously. Only one I'd like to add is the Liggins peace sign with the airplane that threw the BBL Twitter into a frenzy that he was leaving.
Chaotic energy.
And did make London Lions a little spiky, too. They got a little annoyed about that, which surprised me. But, I mean, what were we supposed to think?
I mean, it's terrifying. I opened that story that morning. I immediately went to Twitter to see what was going on.
I think it was about Mullins, personally, but, you know.
All right, let's go. Best presenter, and you're not allowed to pick yourself. Drew.
Daniel Routledge.
Ooh, Jay.
It's Daniel Routledge, actually, but
I'm not good with names.
Uncle Lasker strikes again. Anthony Rowe.
Skylar.
I'm going to suck up and say Drew Lasker.
Yes.
That's two he's got. Pick. Goodness, great pick. His head is growing.
I'm going to say Nat Coombs because he was just on our podcast and he's killing it on Sky Sports. So I'll say Nat Coombs.
Can I just say as well, like, I am so sorry to Mrs. Lasker, because he is going to be walking around with his chest out. I'm the man. Hey,
she's
honey,
tonight
I think I'm going to pass on the dishes tonight. I think I'm going to pass on the dishes.
I got those after I've wrapped the show.
No love for Mike Tuck or Kieran Achara on that one. So that's just a note on the speed round.
Oh,
okay.
Dang it. Achara is going to troll us for sure.
And, all right, next one. Best athlete, Jay.
Gordon.
Drew.
William Lee.
Skylar.
Liggins again.
All right. I like it. Any dark horses here? Who else would you mention?
Derek Williams is an obvious
one. Of course. Yeah, Dirk.
Yeah, Lillard, I've been super impressed. So that was one of the ones that I wanted to shout out. All right, best handles, Drew.
Crandale.
Oh, Skylar.
Crandale as well for me.
Jay.
Crandale for me too, baby.
Yeah, man,
Jelly.
Swept the category. Woo, amazing. All right, best passer, Jay.
Fletch.
Drew.
Fletcher.
Skylar.
Fletcher.
Yep, swept again. That was in our notes too. We're on the same page. Love it. All right, best shooter, Skylar.
Dirk Williams.
Recently, wow. Drew.
Ooh, oh, jeez. You caught me on that one. McSwiggin. Louis Sayers. Louis Sayers.
Sayers. Jay.
Dirk Williams as well.
Nice. He's hot right like now. That one. So hot right now. That Dirk, so hot right now. Best jersey, Jay.
Kills me to say it, Bristol Flyers.
Ooh, Skylar.
Gotta go my team, the Scorchers.
Nice. Drew.
Scorchers. Really?
I wish people could see that reaction.
White jerseys with white numbers? I mean, come on.
I like it.
Off-white.
It's actually the first time I've ever liked a short sleeve jersey, too.
I hate short sleeve jerseys.
Yeah.
We don't have to plan them. We just look at them.
Bristol Flyers.
Flyers. Nice. You know what? They took some heat. I love the Giants. I love their rebrand. So I'm going to go with Manchester Giants. What I don't like is when both teams wear the same color jersey that both dark blue or black. Makes it nearly impossible to see. All right. Next one. Best sneaker game, Drew. Can't pick yourself.
Oh, Teo.
Teo, nice, Jay.
I'm going Martin Bountnick. I'm loving his shoes this season.
Love that pick. Skylar.
NBA.
Good picks. Love it. We got a couple more here. Best mascot, Skylar.
Have there been mascots this year without fans?
There's only one mascot, and he doesn't even need to be in the building. There's just one.
Okay, that one.
Jay.
Foxy. Easy.
True.
The bench of every team this season, because there aren't any mascots. Bench. The bench mobs for every
That's
team.
A
bench
good
mobs.
Pick.
Bench mobs.
Love it. Foxy. Foxy was what we were looking for there. All right. Best nickname. Drew.
McSwaggin.
McSwaggin. Skylar.
McSwishin.
Ooh, all right, Jay.
Yeah, got to be McSwaggin.
Yeah, I agree. I picked McSwaggin.
I feel like I'm
too.
The only one who says McSwishin, but
McSwishin
I like it.
Sounds like something you order from KFC or something. Like it just doesn't sit well with me.
When I hear McSwaggin, I think wagon.
I think
swag.
Too. Yeah, I think, yeah. Round mound of rebound. Just the wagon, not the swaggin.
That's right.
And that concludes the High Tea Hoops speed round. Thank you, Jay.
Man, we absolutely loved it. Thanks, Brian. Hey, I'm feeling super comfortable. I wish we could just go on for longer. You know, how about that for a collab, guys? Listeners, don't forget to get voting when you see the graphics go up using the hashtag the BBL show and the hashtag.
We don't have a hashtag.
At High Tea Hoops.
Just follow us.
Just follow them at High Tea Hoops. We will let the Duke and the Duchess go. Thank you so much for working with us on this. We have to do this again, guys.
Would love to. This was great.
Thanks so much for having us.
I really enjoyed that, guys.
That was a lot of fun, and I hope the listeners feel the fun that we had in the room. But for now, we will say adios. That was flat out fun. I will say in the MVP conversation, we all kind of went a different direction and somehow left out Ramon Fletcher, which I think is a crime and may well come back to haunt us all. But that aside, hi T Hoops, thanks for coming on, bringing such great energy to the show. And we definitely have to do that again soon.
Well, hold on, Jay. I think that Brian has some explaining to do because he had Fletch as his pick and he pulled a fastball on us and he made a late scratch in the middle of the pod. So, Fletcher, you know you deserve to be on that list, but you should get it, your boy.
For me, I had all the statistics already laid out, so I just didn't want to make a fool of myself by pivoting at the last minute. But, you know, what one of us should have put him in there, and you know, he comes out with a 29 points and 10 rebounds game just to let us know all about it.
Of course he did.
Talking about Ramon Fletcher, player of the week. So Ramon Fletcher himself with a stat line, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 37 index. Is there anyone even close? We are still going to put out some competition. Owen Parker, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 26 index. Justin Robinson, 21 points, 9 assists, 26 index. But what I will say is, going up against those kind of statistics, those Lions look a little toothless. Okay, get your votes in on the Twitter poll. Predictions will be going up during the week. As always, you will see our beautiful bobbleheads on lovely graphic. I'm keeping a healthy lead at this present time, but I'm sure Mr. Lasker is desperately going to try and claw that one back over the next couple of weeks. That's another episode in the bag. We hope you all had a great Christmas. In our next episode, we will be focusing on those dreaded New Year's resolutions. But until then, Drew, lead us out, brother.
Hey guys, Jay and I just want to send you guys a massive appreciation for everyone out there that's supported us, that's tweeted, that's said anything positive about this podcast. Make sure you guys continue to support us in 2021. We got some special things in the bag for you guys. And also, you know, support our friends out there, the other podcasts out that's out there representing British basketball. So make sure you subscribe to one of their podcasts as well. But until then, come back and see us. First of all, have a happy new year. You guys be safe out there. And we'll see you guys in 2021. Signing off, the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL show. The BBL show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.